Here's Samson, chosen by God before he was born. In Judges 13, we read about the angel talking to his mother before he was even conceived. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. If you go back in the book of Judges and you start in Judges chapter 13 and you read through Judges chapter 16, you'll see that Samson was a thorn in the side of the Philistines. He did the work that God had him born to do. He did the work that God intended for him to do. In chapter 14, you read how he killed 30 Philistines. In chapter 15, he burned up their harvested corn, the corn that was still in the field, the vineyards and the olives. And the Bible says he smote them with a great slaughter. It doesn't tell us in that chapter how many he killed. They came out against him with greater numbers, and the Bible says they took a jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 Philistines. And so he was used by God in a mighty way to do the work that God intended him to do. Then he meets Delilah. He falls in love with Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines come to her and said, we need for you to find the source of his strength. If you can do that, we'll give you 1,100 pieces of silver. And so she began to work on him. But he lied to her. He lied to her three times. First of all, he said, if you bind me with 7 green withes, which were fresh bowstrings, strings that had never been used, he said, I'll be like other men. And so she did. She said, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he got up, shook himself, and broke them like yarn touching fire. She said, you lied to me. And he said, all right, if you bind me with new ropes, ropes that have never been used, I'll be weak like other men. So she got new ropes and bound him. Said again, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he shook himself. And the Bible says he broke them like they were thread. She said, you lied to me again. She said, okay, if you weave the 7 locks of my hair into a web, I'll be like others. And she did that, put a pin in them, fastened a beam to them. And she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. Again, he shook himself, walked off, dragging the beam in his hair with him. Which brings us up to the scripture that we read a moment ago. Delilah says, how can you say you love me? You've lied to me 3 times. And she began to press him daily. And the Bible says that his soul was vexed unto death. And then he told her, he said, okay, I'm going to tell you all my heart. I've never had a haircut. I've been a Nazarite from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, if somebody shaves my head, the strength will go from me. I'll become weak like any other man. The Bible tells us that Delilah made him put his head in her lap, and he fell asleep. She called a barber in, shaved off the 7 locks of his hair, and began to afflict him. Philistines be upon you, Samson. The Bible says he woke up, he shook himself, and he wist not, he did not know that the Lord was departed from him. He went out to fight the Philistines like he'd done at other times. But he didn't realize that he was no longer strong. And so the Philistines took him, they put his eyes out. They bound him with fetters of brass. We read that a moment ago. And like an animal, like an ox or a mule, they took him to the prison house and he began to turn the wheel that ground the grain. Tonight I speak on the subject, watch out whose lap you lay your head in. Watch out whose lap you lay your head in. You see, tonight I'm going to let Samson represent us as Christians. We're saved, we're on our way to heaven, our sins have been forgiven, and God has called us to do a work. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible says in verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in verse 10, God's telling us, I saved you for a purpose. I got a job for you to do. Now, you won't do that job alone. You'll have the strength of the Holy Spirit, who will guide and strengthen and give you his power to do the works of God. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do mighty works like Samson did. In fact, Jesus told his disciples before he left, he said, you've seen the works that I've done? You're going to do greater works than that. You're going to do greater works than I've done with the help of the Holy Spirit. And all of us tonight as Christians, if we know Jesus as our Savior, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and God can use us in mighty ways, in ways like he used Samson to accomplish his purpose in this world. You see, sometimes we forget that we're on the winning side. We forget that we have the power of God in our lives. I mean, in Samson's day, the Philistines were in charge. I mean, they had Israel under their oppression. I mean, God's people had turned away from him, and we see this cycle over and over in the book of Judges, and God sent punishment by way of oppression from a foreign people. In this particular case, it was the Philistines, and God's people were under the oppression of the Philistines, and God raised up Samson to, again, free his people from the Philistines. We may think we live in a world and the world is oppressing us, but I'm going to tell you something. God, as you testified tonight, God is still God. And there's nothing that God cannot do. The things that we think are impossible. Yeah, when the doctor said, as somebody testified a moment ago, when the doctor testified, look, there's no hope. You only have a few weeks to live or maybe a few months to live. Hey, the doctors don't know when our number's going to be up. Our Creator does, but no man does. And God can still work miracles in this world today, and God can still use Christians that surrender themselves to the Holy Spirit and use the Holy Spirit, and we can do mighty works in this wicked world that we live in today. So here's Samson tonight in this story that represents Christians. In First John chapter 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Samson, tonight I'm going to let represent all of us as Christians. Now, I'm going to let Delilah and the Philistines represent Satan, his demons, and the world, who try to stop us from living for God, who try to stop us from working for God, who try to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, God has called you to live for him, and he has something that he wants you to accomplish. I told Barbara today, she's recovering from very serious surgery, and I told her, I said, God's not done with you yet. There's still a purpose, there's still a reason, there's still a job that he wants you to do. And Missy, her daughter, was there and said, Mom needs to eat more. She gets to get up and walk around more. And I said, you need to eat more. You need to get up and walk around more. And she sort of wagged her tongue like she'd heard that 100 times already. I said, that's what you used to tell Dick, her husband, when he had serious surgery. I was there and I heard him say, you need to eat more. You need to get up and walk around. I said, that's what you told Dick. And she whispered, did I really say that? I said, yes, you did. Now you need to listen to what you told him to do. And I remind all of us tonight, if we're a Christian and you're alive, and I told George, don't come here if you're dead. I asked George how he was doing. He said, well, I'm alive. I said, well, George, if you're dead, don't come here. He said, if I die, preacher, you'll be the first to know. I said, okay. But if you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you're alive, God's got a reason for you being alive. He's got a purpose. He's got something that he wants you to accomplish. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can accomplish that. But Satan and the world is going to try to get you to stop. He's going to try to get you not to work for God. He's going to try to rob you of your strength. He's going to try to put your spiritual eyes out. He's going to try to bind you with fetters. And he's going to try to put you to work grinding in the prison house. So I have 3 points tonight. 3 warnings. The first one is the title of my message. Watch whose lap you lay your head in. We read the passage that said, and she made him sleep up on her knees. So he laid his head in her lap. He fell asleep. When he woke up, his hair was gone. His strength was gone. He had relaxed. He had let down his guard. And the next thing that he knew, he was lost for the kingdom of God. And so tonight, my warning to all of us is, let's watch whose lap we lay our head in. Let's watch who we relax with. And again, I'm not just talking about people. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about situations. I'm talking about circumstances. Watch whose lap you lay your head in. Watch who you let your guard down with. Watch who you pick for your closest friends. Watch who you take your shoes off in front of. You know, we don't take our shoes off in front of everybody. Only those people we feel comfortable with. Only those people we will let down our guard with. Watch who you will yawn in front of. Again, most of us, we won't yawn in front of everybody. I mean, you know, we'll cover it up and we'll stifle. But if you're with somebody that you trust, if you're with somebody that you've let your guard with, you don't mind. You're just, you don't care what they think because you've let your guard down. And so I would remind you tonight what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So watch who you're with when you take your helmet off. Watch who you're with when you take your breastplate off. Watch who you're with when you lay down your shield and when you lay down your sword. If it's not the right person, if it's not the right people, if it's not the right circumstances, you are opening yourself to attack and you're opening yourself to defeat of Satan. And again, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. A lion can never be tamed. They may act friendly, but you can never be sure. And if you're with a lion, don't let down your guard. Don't relax. Don't lay down your whip. Don't lay down your chair. It will devour you. In James 4:7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We won't resist when we're relaxed. We won't resist when we've let our guard down. And so that's why, again, my warning, be careful of the people, of the persons, of the circumstances where you let your guard down. Many people fall into sin. Many people lose their power. Many people suffer that because they were sleeping when they should have been watching. So again, watch whose lap you lay your head in. Number two, watch who you tell all your heart to. Bible says, if I be shaven, this is what Samson said, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. So tonight, I warn you, be careful who you share your secrets with. Be careful who you share your past life with. There are some things better left unsaid. There are some things better left a secret. There are some things better left in your heart and not out in the open. If we're not careful, somebody will take that secret, turn it against you, and destroy your work for the kingdom of God. So watch out who you tell your heart to. And then number three, watch to make sure the Lord doesn't depart. The Bible says, and he, Samson, wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now, I'll be quick to say tonight, the Holy Spirit never leaves us. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, and the Holy Spirit will never, ever leave us. But sometimes we misplace him. We misplace the Holy Spirit because we ignore him. And when we go back to find him, we don't remember where he was the last time we had him. You know, if I use something yesterday, I can usually remember where I put it. Usually. Not all the time, but usually. But if it's been a month or 2 months since I used something, sometimes I have a real tough time remembering where it is. We need to make sure that we're not ignoring the Holy Spirit. We need to talk to him daily. We need to spend time in his word daily. We need to do something for him daily. We need to fellowship with others that have him daily. If we do that daily, if we do that every day, we won't be so apt to misplace him, okay? If we have daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit and we ignore him for an hour, for a couple hours, I had several people walk out of Sunday school this morning and say, Pastor, you ought to ask the Holy Spirit to help you with your diet. And I said, no, I'm not, because I don't want to resist the Holy Spirit. If I ask him to help me with my diet, he's going to do it. And then when I start to eat something I shouldn't and he convicts me, I'm going to have to resist him. And I don't want to resist the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to ask him. And I don't want a bunch of you praying for me either in that regard. Please. I have two pieces of cherry pie in the refrigerator and I want to go home and enjoy them. I've told you this story 100 times. A lady was driving with her husband in the car. He was over here behind the steering wheel and she was over here in the passenger seat. And she looked over at him and said, honey, do you remember when we first got married, how close we used to sit together in the car? And he turned and looked back at her and said, I haven't moved. I'm in the same place I've always been. And that's what the Holy Spirit says to us. I haven't moved. I'm in the same place I've always been. And if we're not careful, if we ignore the Holy Spirit, one day we'll wake up and we've lost our power, we've lost our usefulness for God, we've lost spiritual discernment, and we're bound, grinding in a prison house, shackled with fetters, because we've ignored the Holy Spirit. Now, if you find yourself like that tonight, I have hope for you. In Judges chapter 16, verse 22, the Bible says, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. Amen. His hair began to grow again. And I've often thought as I've read this story, boy, those Philistines were stupid. If I was a Philistine back in that day, I'd take one guy and I said, every day you shave his head. Every day. I don't care if you don't see any hair. Shave his head. Because the secret of his power was his hair. His hair began to grow again. Philistines threw a party. They wanted to rejoice that they had this man of God under their control. And they were in a place where there was some people up on the roof and some people underneath the building. And Samson was blind. They brought him and they made fun of him. There was a little boy leading him around. And Samson whispered to that little boy, hey, would you take and put my arms around the pillars that are holding up this building? And the little boy did it. He took Samson over to the pillars that were holding up the middle of the building. And he said, hey, here they are. You can put your hands on them. And the Bible says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember thee, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson, I can picture it in my mind, he put his arms around those two pillars, and he gave it all that he got, and he pulled those two pillars down, and the building collapsed. And the Bible says, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. He killed more Philistines as he died than he killed all the rest of his life. And so, if you've ignored the Holy Spirit and you don't know where he is, let me just tell you tonight, you can have him back. Amen. You can have him back. He hadn't left you. You're the one that's moved. He hasn't moved. He hasn't moved. You can get your power back. You can be used of God again. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story about Samson. Thank you that we can apply it to our life. I pray you'll help us watch who we let down our guard in front of. I pray you'd help us watch who we tell our whole heart to. And Father, I pray that we'd never ignore the Holy Spirit, that we would realize he's with us every moment of every day, and that, Father, we'd talk to him. We'd read the word with him. We'd pray with him. We'd serve him. Every day, we'd realize that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. I pray you bless the invitation tonight. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've convicted them of their sin. You've convicted them of their need for a Savior. And I pray, Father, that tonight they would make Jesus their Savior. They would come, and we'll help them take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then I pray you speak to us as Christians. Help us to receive the warnings that you've given to us tonight. So bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.